The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again, he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the proper times." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes.' Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A fellow was talking to his friend. He says, "I heard you sold your old bicycle to Joe." He says, "Yes, I did. How much did you sell it for?" $50. He said, "But now he won't pay me." "What? He won't pay you?" "No. If I knew it was not going to pay me, I would have charged him $100. Later on, you know. As a fellow was treated unjustly, so injustice is the theme of both the first reading and the gospel. First of all, Jesus certainly is familiar with the passage from Isaiah, so he uses that in his story in the gospel. First of all, though, Isaiah knows the history of his people, that repeatedly they had failed to keep the covenant relationship with God. And God allows various misfortunes to fall upon them. And then he will send judges or prophets to deliver them and to bring them back. But then we see God's frustration that he planted good vines, but when it comes to the time for harvest, there's no usable fruit, the wild grapes, sour grapes. And he goes on to say that in the same context that the people of Israel is his vineyard, and they are his beloved people, but they haven't been fruitful. And so God will allow judgment of exile upon his people, that the land, which is a sign of their relationship with God, will be taken away from them. Jesus amplifies the story, and he's speaking specifically to the chief priests and elders. He talks about the landowner, who is obviously God, who seeks a return for all he has given to these tenants. And he's ultimately given more than they deserved. Yet in spite of the repeated calls to produce the fruit, through the prophets, they refuse. Then Jesus, speaking of himself in terms of the Son, foretells his own death and God's judgment that will be visited upon the tenants, and then that he will give the vineyard over to tenants who will produce good fruit. We see Jesus' frustration that these leaders of the people to whom he is speaking just won't listen to him. And he says that they will be cast out and others will be put in their place. God deserves his due. And we are called to be just, to give God his due, to give God our whole lives, because he has given us so much. And the things that he has given us, he has given in trust, not as if they were really our own, but he wants us to give back to him. That means we have responsibilities to do justice and give God his due. We are responsible to pray, to worship, to live as his people, to act always in charity, and to trust in God's care. As Paul says in the second reading, we're not to have any anxiety, to know that God cares for all of us and that he cares for each one of us. He always gives us what we need, even though it's not what we think we need. We have to give God his due. As Paul says, we need to think about the good things, even while we live in the midst of evil. We are called to speak the truth to a world that doesn't want to hear it. For instance, we need to speak over and over again of the sanctity of every human life and work to defend it. And one simple way we can do that is by voting no on issue one in November. We need to seek God's mercy. We need to be merciful, likewise, to those around us. We need to forgive, even if the one who has hurt us never asks for forgiveness. We are still to forgive. We are to seek God's mercy because even though we try to do his will, we fail very often, and we don't try as hard as we can. And we are called to give God his due, and that means we understand God's justice. God's justice is perfect. And his judgment on us can be very harsh if we continue to turn away from him, if we disobey. But he is also merciful. And if we seek his mercy, if we ask for his forgiveness, particularly in the sacrament of penance, if we seek the grace of renewal and conversion, if we seek to be merciful as he is merciful to us, then we can give God his due. We can give God our entire selves, our entire lives, as Jesus gave his life for us, that we might live in him in this world, and that when the Lord calls us to the end of our lives, that we may live in the world that will never end, with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all the saints forever.